Friends, the intention of this series is to help us be more conscious of the words of the hymns that we sing. And so in the coming weeks, we will be looking at a variety of familiar hymns, ones that probably, for the most part, you certainly can hum. Maybe you can even supply some of the words just from memory, because they are that familiar to us. And the intention is not particularly to focus on the history of the hymn itself, but rather to look at how the words that the hymn provides for us fit into the faith that we profess together. Now, just to point out, you may be very conscious of this, but in your book of praise, there's always a little clue as to the origin of the hymn. In the old books, if you notice at the top of the page, the tune name for the hymn is provided. In this case, the tune name is Austria, and the composer of the music, in this case, Franz Joseph Haydn, and his dates. And at the end of the hymn, there's a word about the writer of the words. In this case, Ferdinand Hugh Blanchard, born 1876. Now, I suspect that Ferdinand Blanchard is not a name that you recognize right off the top. I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but this hymn was written by an American, Ferdinand Blanchard. It was published in 1952, and it was set to a tune that had been written a century before by the famous composer Franz Haydn. Blanchard, the writer of the words, was born in New Jersey in 1876. He was a graduate of Yale Divinity School, ordained as a Congregationalist minister, and he served churches in Connecticut, New Jersey, and Ohio. His final lengthy pastorate was at a Congregationalist church in Cleveland. It just reminds us that the origins of this hymn are not very far away from here, geographically. I don't know when the hymn was actually written. It was published in 1952. He was, at that point, a fairly old man, but it may well have been written considerably earlier and was only first published as a hymn at that time. In any case, what I want to do for this hymn is to go through it with you verse by verse. We won't always approach hymns this way in this series, but in this case, and realize that sometimes in our books of praise there are slight variations in the wording of hymns, because many of them are in the public domain and editors of hymn books have changed a word here and there. And in fact, in the case of some hymns, not this one, but in the case of some hymns, actually, there are verses added that weren't there put there by the original writer, but they fit the meter and the style, or were written to fit the meter and style, and are included. In this case, to the best of my knowledge, these are pretty much the words as Ferdinand Blanchard wrote them. And verse 1 goes this way: Word of God across the ages, comes your message to our life, source of hope, forever present, in our toil and fears and strife. Constant witness to God's mercy. Still our grace, whate'er befall. Guide unfailing, strength eternal, offered freely to us all. The hymn focuses on the biblical concept of the Word of God. And that has several meanings in Scripture. Sometimes when we read of the Word of God, we're reading a reference to the fact that God is the one who, by the power of His Word, brings things to happen. And so the Word in those instances is really just attributing something to the power and agency of God. Now, we also know that this phrase, Word of God, in the Scriptures, is used as a reference to Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, from John 1. And, of course, and this is the way in which Blanchard primarily uses this term in the hymn, there is the Word of God written, that God, through centuries and generations, inspired faithful people to set down in words a variety of things that included a history of God's people, that also involved prayers and devotions. Also included in that were the writings of some of God's prophets. And of course, the Word incorporates also the New Testament as well as the Old. And in the New Testament, we have the Gospel accounts, which are descriptions concerning the life of Jesus, the living Word. And we also have words written to guide the newly forming Christian community and a brief history of the first generation of believers in Jesus Christ in a certain part of the world of that time. All told, of course, this composition of the written word occurs well over a period of, well over 2,000 years. And that is already 2,000 years in our past. So there is a certain antiquity to this word. And of course, it describes things that occurred even before the first words were put on paper. There is a sense in the Word of God of trustworthiness. We are a people who profess our allegiance to the Scriptures, and we treat them as special, because we believe that God inspired and guided the authors of the original text, and therefore they come with a greater, to us, with a greater authority and strength than many other things which may be equally truthful, but don't have that same guarantee mark, if you will, of being from the Lord. And Blanchard, in this hymn, talks about the strength, the hope, the power that comes to God's people through the Scriptures. And just pick up on some of those phrases, source of hope, forever present in our toil and fears and strife. That the scriptures are a constant witness to God's mercy. They're a guide unfailing. And they represent a strength eternal, freely offered to us all. And so Blanchard, in this hymn, wants to emphasize, as God's people sing their praises to God, one of the things that we praise God for is the gift of the written word. That this record has been preserved. And because it was understood to be special and scripture, it was protected very carefully through the generations. And we're the benefactors of that, because can you imagine how our faith would be diminished if we did not have this written record? Because included in it is a testimony of God's relationship to his people through centuries. And from that story, we draw strength and encouragement. Well, let me take you on to verse 2. Story of our wondrous journey from the shadows of the night, garnered truth of sage and prophet, guiding forward into light. Words and deeds of Christ our Master, pointing to the life and way, still appealing, still inspiring in the struggles of today. Blanchard, of course, though his primary focus is on the written word, makes sure that it is understood that a significant part of the testimony of the written word of Scripture is to the living word, Jesus Christ. The Old Testament was a record of anticipation of that time when God would send the Messiah. And the New Testament is the record of that fulfillment. And so the scriptures have as that grand underlying intention of pointing people toward Christ and then confirming them in their understanding of God's gift of his Son. And of course, when you think about it, it is primarily from the written word that we have anything that could be called first-hand knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, there are other references to Christ in our history, and references to belief and faith and how people understood the faith. But when we gather for worship, we read from the scriptures, because here we have God's intended testimony to subsequent generations of what he was doing and why he was acting as he was. And the primary focus of that falls on God's gift of the living word, Jesus Christ. And as the written word, of course, is noted by Blanchard as being trustworthy and effective, so the living word is held up as having relevance for today as well as for the generation in which Jesus lived. As Blanchard puts it, still appealing, still inspiring in the struggles of today. And that's what we profess when we sing this hymn, that we recognize that God has provided the gift of his Son, and that he has supplied us with a testimony concerning his Son, with the intention that we should draw strength and encouragement from that as we profess his name. Well, let me look at the third verse briefly with you. In the tongues of all the peoples may the message bless and heal. As devout and patient scholars, more and more its depths reveal. Bless, O God, to wise and simple, all your truth of ageless worth, till all lands receive the witness, and your knowledge fills the earth. This, you see, is the forward look of Blanchard's hymn. He celebrates God's gift of the written word. He celebrates in the hymn the living word, Jesus Christ. But he points us also to the ongoing life of faith and the continuance of the sharing of the word in the world. And you understand, we're here this morning because of God's word. Because that word was preserved and shared and passed on from generation to generation. And maybe we didn't just come to faith because we were sitting with a Bible in our hand reading it at the moment. It was a word that was shared with us, perhaps by parents, by friends, by believers, who drew our attention to what the scriptures had to say, who pointed us in the direction of Jesus Christ and his significance for human life and a human future. And by professing his name, we come into a community that has as a part of its challenge and mandate the preserving of the word and the passing it on from generation to generation. In our own lifetimes, that's had a significant impact in terms of the translation of scripture into various languages in the world. I mean, even in the English language, you have all here lived long enough to go through a variety of English translations of scripture. You have no doubt been aware of the church's participation in this work of translation and distribution of scripture, sometimes happening directly by missionaries of the Church of Jesus Christ who have gone to places and then, learning the language, begun the task of translating the scriptures into that language. In other cases, they've worked in partnership with Christian organizations who have it as their mandate and goal to see that this happens. Many of you have been conscious of the work of Bible societies in the world, whose task was to translate and distribute the scriptures, that the church might have this as a resource as they commenced Christian ministry in new places. And we live in an age, you know, when the opportunities for such continuation of the word and such distribution of the word are even more amazing. I don't know whether or not you recall, but I on one occasion brought with me, and perhaps I should have brought with me today also, a very small little device, so big, that is solar powered. Just leave it in the sun for a little while and it'll talk to you. And it has on it the whole of the Bible in audio form. And the organization that was producing these was producing them for use in mission fields around the world and using the opportunity to provide the scriptures to people in audio form, in their own language, in a format that they could have access to that would self-generate because it was solar powered, and that would give them access to the word. And we share in this ongoing activity of making sure that the word is not lost, that it is not obscured, that it is not diminished or forgotten, but rather that it is made known. And not just in our own language, but also in formats and ways that can take it to the end of the earth. And one of the exciting things about the technology of our generation is that it can be harnessed and utilized in a variety of ways to accomplish that, in ways that don't require people to have elaborate equipment or access to the internet or any such thing, but where the technology is utilized in simple forms to help share the word. In the tongues of all the peoples, may the message bless and heal. Bless, O God, to wise and simple, all your truth of ageless worth, till all lands receive the witness and your knowledge fills the earth. That's what we declare and profess as we sing this hymn. Nothing new, something we have heard and been taught and believed, but nevertheless affirmed as we sing the hymn. So may our response to this hymn be one of thanksgiving and praise to God that he has provided us with his word, written and living, and that he has demonstrated the power of his word in the world. And may he guide us as we share in the task of passing it on. These are things for us to celebrate when we sing this hymn. So, next time we sing Word of God Across the Ages, let us not sing it just because the words fit nicely to the music or we like the tune, but because also it is a good expression of the faith we profess, and it becomes our declaration of faith. Friends, thanks be to God. Amen.